This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana and the region we call Acadiana. We're taping today's episode in the offices of Raider Solutions, a full-service information technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette. For more information, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. My guests today are Michael and Tracy Landry, co-founders of T.M. Landry College Prep, a private, independent, year-round college prep school located in Brobridge, Louisiana. If you haven't yet heard of T.M. Landry or its phenomenal success story, sit back and relax, but you also better put on your seatbelt. This story is one guaranteed to make you want to get up and shout, hallelujah. Mike and Tracy Landry are parents who have always wanted the best education for their children, and your children as well. But when they realized that their children needed a more effective instructional model, they started their own homeschool, back in a garage, in 2005. The model for their instruction is a flexible Montessori college readiness program that takes into account the individual needs of each student. There are no textbooks, no homework, and no specific class schedule. Students from kindergarten to high school help tutor and they work together with each other to master their subjects. The itty-bitties learn economic and government principles right alongside the older high school students. Attaining a 100% graduation rate with its students going off to Yale, Princeton, Harvard, Wellesley, Brown, Stanford, Columbia, and more, T.M. Landry Prep is an oasis in the world of problematic educational outcomes we experience here in Louisiana. To discuss the genesis, as well as the genius of T.M. Landry College Prep and the family of students that they educate, not only about academics, but about how the world works, I'd like to welcome Tracy and Mike Landry to Discover Lafayette. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. Hello. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I've been looking forward to this since the day we met. I guess about a month ago, I had the pleasure of driving up to T.M. Landry College Prep on Ree Street. And the first things I noticed, of course, like everyone else, were the flags symbolizing all of the Ivy League schools that your students are off to. So thank you for taking time to be here. I feel like I'm cutting into the educational day.
Thanks for having us.
But we want to share your story. So which one of you would like to start and talk about the day that you both realized and what had happened to make you realize we need to start our own school?
Well, we would always study with our children at the dinner table, ask them questions, and we knew that they were prepared for any test they had. And what we did was let me go back a little bit. A couple of weeks after having the test, they couldn't remember any of the information that they were tested on. So that was a problem for us. And our younger son, middle child, was doing well in school, but we noticed that he really was having a problem with the reading and just different aspects of that grade level, but still being passed through. So we brought him into the counselor and the principal, and we asked for them to ask him to read. And they were like, well, what's the problem? He's passing, he's doing really well. And my husband was insisting, just have him read. And he couldn't. He could not fluently read what was on that paper. And yet he was being passed to the next grade level. So for us, that was an eye-opening moment. And Mike decided that, okay, look, we're not going to let him fall through the cracks. I'll stay home, I'll homeschool him. And once he did that, and people in the neighborhood started to notice how our son was maturing, changing, and he had taken him two grade levels in math in just a summer. So other parents started asking for their children to be homeschooled as well, and that's how it started.
That's how it started. How old was your son at that point?
He was seven.
So he really had his whole educational career in front of him.
Yes.
So he, okay.
Because I knew y'all aren't that old. How old are you guys?
We'll be range. Well, I'll be 50 in October. Okay. So it's okay. And we have a 28-year-old, 20-year-old, and a 17-year-old.
So you were very young parents when you realized this isn't working for our family. Exactly. I want to make clear that we're not here to really disparage any institution, just to talk about the success and some of the eye-opening discoveries you've made as you've started TM Landry College Prep. So, Mike, you're over here nodding. You were working outside of the home, obviously. You were working and decided that this is the most important thing that I can do?
Yes. I think in my case, growing up dirt poor, mom had me when she was 16 years old. I like to call it rats and roaches, welfare, kid, no father in the house. And my younger brothers didn't go down the right road. And we didn't want our son to go down that path. And we knew that education would be the key. So when we saw that he was just having a major issue with learning, but we knew we had to fix that. But it all stemmed from our older daughter's situation as well, that she had great grades. Mm-hmm. But from time to time when we would discuss things with her, she had no clue on a test that she had made an A on. And we knew, coming from where we grew up in Brobridge, that if you didn't have an education, you were in the fix. You're gonna have a long, hard life. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to try to do whatever was necessary to allow her and the rest of our children some chance of success.
So you started a homeschool once you had some others buy in, as Tracy said. You had enough people to start a homeschool, but yet you're not educators.
No, by any stretch. I never took one course in education. I actually started in the master's degree for education. And then within the first semester, I knew that I didn't believe that it was working according to what the world was requiring of the education system. So I decided that it was time for me to drop out. Had good grades, but I decided that wasn't the best thing to educate children.
Right.
So I left that. No disrespect to any of the great educators out there. I love all educators. But we wanted to do something that was different because we knew the world was changing and it was changing fast. And I can read numbers and I could see the results that we were getting in our great state. So we said, we need to try something different.
Yeah, we really are a great state, and it just kills me to think about how we consistently rank near the bottom. And that's what makes your model so exciting, because it doesn't follow any of the current existing models.
Right.
You offer, and I want you to talk about your early days as we get into this, but I know now the students go year-round. They get a few days off in the summer, maybe 5 days, and there's no homework because they're at school all day. They don't leave at 3. They don't arrive at 8, leave at 3, and then have the summer off, nor do your teachers that assist you. Was it always like that? Can you go back to those early days when you started?
Well, we had the first year where we decided that we wouldn't be year-round, and it took us until September to get the students back to where they were in May. And we said that just wasn't working. It had to be year round. And we started seeing the results. We were able to move the students faster, but actually take the time to get them to learn the information that was important. And having that year round system allows us to do that.
And so even then, the children, I know now, when a class is being taken or a subject matter is being studied, I should say. It seems like it's more of study than a classroom. The kids don't move forward until they've really mastered the material. And I know from being the mother of two girls, typically they're moving forward even if, you know, your child isn't ready to move forward. The whole class is moving forward because that's the way it has to be, I guess, with the masses. But at your school, I think you told me that if the kids don't make a 90 or higher on a test, that's considered a failing grade. They have to they have to achieve a 90%. Is that correct?
Yes. We like to say at school, go big or go home. So we believe that if we're going to help change the landscape of education in Louisiana and move Louisiana from one of the worst performing schools in the country, districts mm-hmm. in regards to education, that we have to use extreme measures. We're at extreme times, and we're not in the what I like to call, or other people say, the industrial age. We're more mm-hmm. in the cyber age, where things happen like yesterday. So what we mean by that is that if we want to compete against other people, we have to tell our students mastery-based learning. And all school systems could do that, but it's going to change our overall mindset. What happens is that until a student masters the material, they're not allowed to move on to the next section. It's going to be hard in the beginning, but once that student gets a great foundation, then the teachers can take more of a what we like to call a back seat, and allow the students to think and put themselves in the ditch, we call it. And how do they find their way out? Once they do that, they reach mastery level. So I believe that all students, it doesn't matter if you're what they consider super smart, average, or below average, if you give a student an opportunity mm-hmm. And a lot of encouragement, they'll reach mastery learning.
One of the when I toured, one of the young men, and I don't know if it's appropriate to mention names, but he was just
it's Cody,
just accepted into Princeton. When I was walking with Cody around your school, which is a really cool open air facility, it's a fabrication, I guess, a past fabrication mm-hmm. manufacturing facility. Cody told me that he was at a local school at Paul Breaux in seventh grade, and was not doing well, and in fact was on the way to being another dropout, and he transferred to your school, which is much later than when your son, when you started educating him at seven.
Right.
I mean, Cody must have been 13-ish. I'm not sure
he
of his age.
13.
And here, 4 short years later, you know, accepted to Princeton. And so just thinking about what you just said, the mastery, he spent the summer at Harvard. Is that correct?
He did.
Yes. He took calculus and theoretical physics.
And who would have dreamed that? Not that he doesn't seem totally capable, but in just a few short years, to turn your life around and to turn around not only your life, but all those that you touch, to see it's a miracle, but yet he's earned it.
Yes.
I mean, I just get chills thinking about it. He was so impressive. But to think about what he's accomplished with your guidance in that short period of time, and how many other students out there just like Cody that may won't have those opportunities. So what happens, like, when you take kids in? Is it a culture shock for them to go from the traditional school system to a year-round training, you know?
It kind of is. And let me say this, that Cody's situation was also unique in that he didn't know his multiplication tables mm-hmm. when he came. So to go from that to theoretical physics and calculus at Harvard as a 10th grader, phenomenal.
As any age, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, I still can't.
I couldn't get in.
But he's a hard worker, mm-hmm. but his story is not exceptional. We've had this little guy named Nairobi who had failed 4 times before coming to us.
Gosh.
So he was an 8th grader, but 4th grade level, but was passed on because he went to summer school.
Mm-hmm.
And he graduated on time, is at St. John's, and has a GPA of a 3.6.
That's
and
incredible.
He's majoring in physics.
Uh-huh.
He's double majored, physics and applied mathematics. But the thing is, it's a culture shock when they come in, and we give them about a month or two for them to mm-hmm. kind of get used to the whole
yeah.
situation of staying late, which we call dark 30. But you can't leave until it's dark.
Yes.
But they, after, when they realize how much we care
mm-hmm.
and how much they're capable of doing, the expectations are a lot higher, so they rise to the occasion,
mm-hmm.
and they do it. It'll take a while, but they do rise.
Now, Mike, you don't have on your bow tie today, but I know when I was on campus, The kids dress up. They're dressed very respectfully for, I guess, anybody showing up. I was really shocked at the level of dress, the politeness. But also, I asked some of the kids, what about extracurricular? Do you have sports? What do you do? And I was told that they are coached from the beginning, why would you want to play sports when you can own the team?
Yes.
Is that an accurate
yes. We
quote
like to say,
from you?
Why play for the team when you can own the team?
There you go.
So we don't have any sports, but we do have really competitive sports that the rest of the area would say that's not true, where we're competing for life. We call it the game. That's the big game. So we want our students to know that they're supposed to be examples to other students, even if they don't come to T.M. Landry, is how can you do those things? So we like to say sit upright, wear your bow tie, keep your pants up high, do all those things. If you're going to be a mover and shaker in the world, and you're gonna go to these huge corporate executive meetings, the way they see you the first time will determine how strong you are. So you only get one chance to make a first impression, so you have to swing hard. We also like to say swing for the fences. The expectations that we try to get the students, the young girls, to wear their skirts a certain length, we really mean that because we're saying, you know, classy, not trashy. And we tell them to have those high expectations. And I think most kids want a lot of guidance, even though they're gonna fuss, but they're really challenging the system to see how much do you care. And that once those students see that, they know day in and day out, if they dress appropriate, they take care of their business, then they're gonna perform. And here's why that uniform works so well. At school, we don't have a long list of disciplinary rules. We allow the students to help develop those rules. So those rules are not always fair. One kid who's a high school student may get a tougher consequence than a kid that's in fifth grade, because they're going to say you're older, so you're supposed to think. So we allow our students to think versus say, here's the box, get in the box and run through it just like in their industrial age. We're here with a great organization. I'm going to say it right, Raider Solutions.
Yes.
And as I'm sitting here, I'm looking and I'm like, this is how school should be. It's cool. You get a chance to look and you see things happening. There are no straight lines here, because they're dealing with the real world. So if we want our students to be able to deal with that, we must prepare them for that instead of shocking them.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to follow up on those thoughts. Raider Solutions, a technology company which creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses, functioning as their complete IT department, from networks, phones, hosting of servers, and a service-oriented help desk. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work, we understand. If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Mike, let's follow up on the thoughts you were just sharing. I learned when I visited at the school that the teachers aren't just hired by you and Tracy. They go through a process to determine if they're a good fit, if they like it, but also if the students like them. Would you talk about that?
At school, what we tell our instructors, which is hard in the beginning, that it's not about you as an individual instructor, it's more about the students. We work for the students, and at the end of the day, they have to be a part of the process of when a new student, a teacher comes in, they're gonna have to sit down and get interviewed by instructors. I'll give a good example. Today we have a new young lady coming in to teach Mandarin, and she's getting interviewed, she's in classes, but you have fifth and sixth graders who are asking her questions. And then they're gonna come back and then they're gonna have a discussion why this instructor should be in and should not be in. The thing is, they're not looking to see who's does that instructor personality works. What they're trying to see is that, does that teacher in that first impression looks at them and say, I think you're going to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. It's my job to help you get to the next level. So they're going to ask this instructor certain things. If you had ABC schools to send your children to, where would you send yours? Are you happy if your kids have all C's? That's a trick question. If that instructor says, like, yes, then that those students, for the most part, no, this is not the one for us. Uh-huh. So all those things there, and that's one of the things. We have no custodians. The students have to do that. The students decide on a lot of things. So one of the things I love about that, there is one instructor, and she's here. She's at school, so I'll say her name, Miss Angel. She came in. She was really timid, quiet, and the students voted her out. They were like, no.
Uh-oh.
But one student, only one in the group, stood up, and he said yes. And the kids explained why she wasn't a good fit. He just took it, and he said, we're getting ready to go to Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, Yale. Every teacher won't look like us, and every teacher won't conduct himself like us. So if we want to get ourselves in that situation, she's passionate. She wants to win. So even though she isn't that ideal TM Landry instructor, she's going to benefit us in the long run because she's preparing us to be able to adapt to different things. And one at a time, the students looked, started shaking their heads and said, you're right. We understand. And they voted her in, and she's doing extremely well.
That's great. And that is a good Brobridge name, huh?
Angel. Yes, Angel. Yes.
Now, you mentioned the Mandarin. I know you also have a Latin instructor, and you mentioned also that you would be adding Arabic. Is that correct?
Yes, and we have a Hindi instructor as well.
So where did all this come from? You have so few students. How many students are currently enrolled?
175.
So not only are you teaching the basics, math and science, but why all the emphasis on these languages besides French and Spanish? What's that about?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned those two. In this area, that's exactly what most schools would go for. And when you're going for the elite universities, what makes you different from everyone else? Because if you all have the same scores and the same story, basically, what sets you apart from everyone else? And those languages, they make a difference. And also, when you think about the business world, currency, Mandarin, learning Chinese, plays a big part in that, to be able to sit at the table and understand the discussions, actually to take part in them. So that was part of it for us.
I got to walk in and see part of the Mandarin Chinese class being conducted, and they weren't seniors. I mean, they were younger students in there, and the teacher was Chinese. I don't know, you said you might be interviewing.
Yes.
But everybody was sitting there. I looked at the board, the whiteboard. I didn't have a clue. And I just felt like, thank you, TM Landry, for doing this, because it's
so
progressive from what I know my students got, and they got great educations, but not at this level of challenge.
I think one of the biggest things that we want to challenge students. We don't want students to sit down, and that's the reason why we don't give you a study guide or announce when the test is coming. Because in the real world, you have to be ready every day. And we tell the students on a day-to-day basis, we are at war. And you have to assume that when you decide to come to school, you have to be ready to win. If a student, after 3 days, consecutive days, if they feel this is not the right environment for them, we ask them to talk to their parents and say, maybe I should go somewhere else. Because we love that we're in this, what we like to take pride in, call this raggedy building, because we tell the students, nobody's coming here because we have all the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. People are coming here because you are highly educated and you are the underdog. And I want to tag that in back to the state as a whole. We are the underdogs, and we have to understand that we have to do different things. When our students leave to go off to college, we want them to know and represent, whether you're at Harvard, Stanford, wherever, that yes, you are at TM Landry, you're a TM
Landry alumni. However, you're from Louisiana. So when you say I'm from Louisiana, many of those other students look at them and say, oh, we don't have to compete against this kid. But then when that kid says, oh, you know, I'm going to be a double major in applied math and physics, or I'm a triple major applied math, computer science, and economics. And yes, I do live in rural Southwest Louisiana. So I want to stress this here. Many times they say, well, Mike and Tracy, this will only work for this particular school. And we say it's not. We're saying that everyone can do it. We sat with great corporate leaders throughout the country, and they wanted to know, is this scalable? And they were like, no, this will never be scalable. And after months of looking and reviewing, they were like, this is scalable. And so we want other people to know that every kid is destined for greatness, no matter how far he or she is at this point.
Scalable, yes. With the current system, I'm just thinking ahead, you are not under the umbrella of the Department of Education at this point because of rules. Not that they're not doing what they need to be doing with the schools, but you are considered a homeschool.
Correct.
And so you're privately funded through, I know, tuition, which I want to get into the families that are part of the T.M. Landry family, but you're not currently under the rules because they would hold you back in what you're doing.
Right, exactly. We've had several administrators, leaders, education leaders come in to see if they could fit our system mm-hmm. into that box, and it couldn't fit there. They would have to do major changes to be able to do that, and whether or not they want to mm-hmm. is a whole different thing.
So charter schools, I guess, would be a possibility, and that's not.
No.
So let's move on then, because that's really another whole podcast. Mm-hmm. The families that you do cater to, mm-hmm. I know are, I hate to say low income, but they're not, are they, did I read that the median income is maybe $32,000?
Right. Yes.
And they're paying tuition. They yes. pay, what is the monthly tuition?
$525 a month.
And so they get their children to the school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's no bus.
No.
The kids bring their own lunch.
Yes.
And like I said, they stay all day. They get there early, and they stay until dark.
Yes.
And so in many ways, that does work for today's families. They're
yes.
there. They don't go home with homework. They finish their day
exactly.
when they close the door behind them.
Also, exactly. here's one of the things. Yes, you could say for transportation reasons that most schools have to begin early in the morning. But technically, it doesn't have to happen that way. If we start to create a mindset that students, when you're going to school, it's not school. One of the things we hate at our school is say, I'm at school. This is not school. This is a place of learning. It's free will. You choose to come or you choose not to come. But we constantly tie in the real world situation into school, into why you're getting an education. You want to do this here, then this is why you need to do ABC. So we're big believers. For example, the doors open up at 7, but the first class doesn't start till 9. So when students come in early, they get a chance to tutor. It's the same thing if you have to report to work at 9 o'clock, but you know there's this project, this presentation that you're going to give at 11. The average person's probably going to go in a little bit earlier to get themselves ready. So if we start to get them to understand that at a young age, the early bird gets the worm. If you want to get to that level, you have to do those things. But imagine this kid who has to go to class at 7 o'clock in the morning, for example. That means that this kid has to wake up extremely early. You either have to get on a bus or get in a car. So I'm willing to bet that majority of the kids in their first period don't learn anything.
And waking up.
So we have to do some extreme things. I'm pounding the table on this by saying that if we use those things, and we can have Silicon Valley in Louisiana. It could be Silicon whatever in this area.
Silicon but Bayou. Huh?
That's it. But we have to do these great things. and I'm sounding like a broken record, and I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say this here, but sitting in this place here, when I'm not answering questions, I'm looking. And I'm looking at these gentlemen, they're working, they're standing up, they're walking, they're smiling. Well, if we don't have people to do that, then imagine when this company doubles in size. Mm-hmm. Where will the people come from? Will they come from Canada? Will they come from Alabama, California? I think it's time that we do some things to control our own destiny and our own fate. And the only way to do that is to be able to take great individuals such as yourself, Ms. Webb, the other powerful and highly educated people in regards to technology and put it in our classrooms. And I'm going off on a tangent, but what I mean is, it's not just about throwing a whole bunch of computers in a class. It's about allowing kids to think outside the box, mm-hmm. and then we'll lead.
You know, as an attorney that works now with technology, it's amazing to me what I can find online. Like, there's no textbooks. This morning, I was trying to send out a MailChimp email, and I couldn't figure out something, so I got on YouTube. And you know, I just started looking until I figured it out. And it took about 20 minutes, a little task I had to do. And I thought, what if I was in a classroom having to study? Even some of the teachers I speak with at, you know, colleges, they're not teaching today's things because it's changing daily. Yes. It's just changing daily. And so that's what I love about what y'all are doing. And also love that you're getting in the plug for Raider Solutions. We're laughing over here. I want to talk about a couple of things. You're not just teaching academic subjects. I understand the kids have a stock portfolio. You're teaching them about real life. I mean, do you mix that in to the school day, or is there a club about investing? Or
yes.
How do you do that?
Here's something that's so exciting. Our kids learn about economics and investing. One of the best things that's going to happen on Thursday, we're going to have the president of the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank come to do a lecture at school. So we're at this tiny school, and they contacted us. So you get a chance to see some out-of-the-box thinking. Mm-hmm. So imagine this here, that you're in class, and Ms. Tracy walks in and says, okay, guys, in the next month, you're going to have the president of the the Reserve Bank come in. And so what we're going to discuss, you have to be ready. He's discussing banking systems. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a class on banking systems. We basically said, here's the deal. You break up in groups, and you need to perform. We give them that challenge, and these students start to make their own assignments. And here's how we're going to find out how well they are.
And you know what? That one class is going to teach them more about real life than almost anything. Because you go buy a house, your interest rate, I learned last week, every percentage point drops down what you can afford by about $10,000 on a home. So to have one of the fellows that deals with this nationally is just priceless for them to learn. How is this going to affect your life?
Exactly. You know? So that instructor could sit and say all these things.
Yeah.
And that kid can listen and say, okay. But when you have someone, and there's, think about it, there are only a couple of these guys who make the decisions on what interest rates will be in the entire country. And you get a chance to sit with this person. That's something that's going to allow the students to move to another level. Mm-hmm. And even though economics is extremely important for us at school, we don't allow kids to go to school and concentrate on those kinds of things, or pre-med, or law. We basically tell you, you're gonna concentrate on computer science, applied mathematics, and engineering. And then if you decide you wanna be an attorney, you're gonna go to grad school, medical school. But we want them to focus on things that it's extremely hard, it's difficult, but that critical thinking skill will allow you, like you just said, okay, I'm an attorney, I want to investigate this here, mm-hmm. I know how to think, now I can write, I can speak. So I become a dangerous weapon. And that's the things that we want. We want students to have flexibilities. We don't tell students, oh, you should be this here when you're older, when you get out of college. We tell kids, you're going to school to acquire a lot of knowledge and find out what you love once you acquire all that knowledge. But you may want to be a great attorney. Mm-hmm. But if you can't write, if you can't read, I don't care how much you want to be that attorney, you're not good. And even if you're lucky enough to pass the bar, all these other attorneys who can think, who can strategize, you're still going to be a terrible attorney. So we want you to understand those things, problem solving. And before you ask the next question, I want to keep pounding the table to all instructors in school systems out there. It's possible. Don't look at TM Landry and say, oh, they're this small school, this is okay. We have no money.
Exactly. That was going to be my next question. You have a little bit of money, but this takes a lot of money to sustain. I know yes. from your the tuition levels that you collect now, I don't understand how you're doing it because you've got to pay instructors. Tracy, you and Mike have to live. You can't just live at the school. I mean, you have your own life that you've poured into this endeavor. And I do want to say your videos go viral. That when the kids are accepted to Princeton, Harvard, Yale. And I hate to say this, but I've noticed it the way Facebook works. You'll get one of them maybe 250,000 views or likes. Right. But yet when you say we've got a fundraiser or something, you know, there'll be a handful of people. It's not just you. It's any good cause. It's difficult to raise money. And yet if I had to put somebody in the priority, TM Landry College Prep would be at the number one top of anything. Tell me about that. I know you want to grow. I know you want to sustain what you have. What's in the works? What's going on all this, if I'm not asking too much?
Yes, we want to grow. And before I tell you we want to grow, here's the teachers. Boy, we love them. I won't say the amount of money they make because they make so... Okay, they don't make anything. So those teachers are so committed and they see the vision that most of the teachers are probably getting anywhere between $18,000 and $20,000 less than what they could get at a traditional school. So our vision is, number one, to get enough sponsorships to pay the teachers what they deserve. Even being equal with any other teacher in the field would be great. Mm-hmm. Second, on the expansion, we're looking at doing some things. We're in Breaux Bridge, but we're interested in there are opportunities where we may come into Lafayette. But besides Lafayette, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, the most disappointing thing that we have, my wife and I, is that we're button heads to help kids in Louisiana. But I can show you emails where school systems in Atlanta, Philadelphia, we just got back, Oklahoma, where they're saying we're interested, South Carolina, we're going to be heading out to. And all those things, we need the money. And we're saying we're going to go to those places. But then sometimes we look at ourselves and say, would we be hypocrites if we're from Louisiana and we're taking what we have and it shows it works and we have to go to a different state? I think in the big scheme of things, that would be something really, really wrong. But that's where it's looking that we're going to have to move to allow the teachers to have a better living because, again, they have already suffered for many, many years. And my wife and I, we could tell you about the personal struggles that we had where eating and stuff like that. That's a luxury to us.
Well, yeah.
What we would do when we drive up to the house is make sure that the doorbell light was on. Because if it was on, that means we still had light in the house.
God, Tracy, I'm not laughing.
No, it is true.
Yeah.
But we had to make sure that people who sacrificed and came to us, that they got paid. And even with having students on the books that owed over 7,000, we knew that it was the only chance that child had to make a difference in their lives because they were heading down a really bad path. So we just had to eat it up. And a few times we had to sleep at the school because it had light.
Yes. So I laugh at that. I remember we would go home. No electricity at the house, and we had to walk through the house with our cell phones
and get clothes, take a cold shower, and take like lawn chairs, and we would go back to school, and we would sleep in school. Mm-hmm. And our friends would say, man, this is crazy. You need to make these people pay. And we were like, we understand that, but mm-hmm. we're going to cause such a major distraction in that, not only that kid's life, but that kid's grandchildren. So the only way that we have a chance is we would suffer. And I say this here, what would be terrible sometimes, we wouldn't get paid, and those families would go on vacation, and they owed us. And we would just, Teresa and I would just smile, and we would just say, okay, what's gonna happen? How these things will happen? And we would basically say, okay, they don't believe that we're as good as what we're doing, so we're gonna make their kids into these phenomenal kids. And we're gonna show them it wasn't just about money, it was that we're family at school. Mm-hmm. So kicking a kid out of school is extremely difficult, because the first word you see when you walk into the place is family.
Right.
So we suffered a lot.
Is this a faith-based endeavor personally for you?
Personally, yeah, uh-huh. It is. And it was only through faith that we got through.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I use faith, for example, we had payroll was due, and we knew Friday morning when we woke up, we looked at each other, and we're like, we don't know how we're going to tell these people we cannot pay them today.
Because it was around Christmas.
No. So the parents were not paying.
Yeah.
And we love our parents, but they were not paying. So we didn't call them or fuss or nothing. And then I don't know who goes to the mailbox.
Miss Londi
goes to the mailbox, and then I'm teaching, and they come and run. And then there was a check for, I think, $20,000, $25,000. And it was $20,000, and that was enough to pay payroll for that
thank
day.
God. Yeah.
But we knew it was Christmas, and our parents, our teachers, their kids were not getting anything.
Mm-hmm.
So do we believe it's fate? Yes.
Yeah. So you do accept contributions. Where should people go if they want to find out more? What's the best way to reach you?
Well, our website, www.tmlandrycollegeprep.org, would be the best place. We have our donate button, but you could also see all the things we've done with the school, our philosophy, just everything about our students mm-hmm. on that website. And you could come visit as well.
Which I highly encourage.
Also,
highly encourage that.
There's the foundation.
Oh, Giving Day, right, on May 10th.
Through Community Foundation of
yes.
Acadiana.
Yes.
And that won't just be on that day. People could contribute. You have a fund set up at Community Foundation?
Yes. We do.
And I know people are familiar with CFA.
Yes.
I just can't stress enough how much I want to see this grow, but also for you
thank
guys
you.
To be able to sustain your efforts. So that's why you're both so thin. Now
yes.
I understand.
Kind of moving all of
them. Save on the groceries
and that's right.
poured back in the school.
I also say what's exciting is that a couple of days ago we get an email from ESPN and the NBA, and they're like, we want to get permission to show some of your college admissions videos during the NBA finals. And I'm like, okay, you're right.
I guess we'll get permission.
And it's exciting that you have these people, and they're asking these questions. Are these kids just naturally smart? Do you test the students? It's against the rule to test students when they come in. We don't test any kids, because right away, if that kid comes in and they don't perform at a level we expect, we don't want to condition ourselves that, okay, here comes this kid, he's 2 years behind, because the average kid who comes into school will be at least 2 years behind.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what's great is when a kid who's in middle school comes in 2 years behind and he gets a college admissions letter at the end of his or her 11th grade mm-hmm. year to go to an Ivy League school. Any college is better than no college. But three consecutive years in a row, we have sent young girls at the end of the 11th grade to Columbia to major in the CS program, the hardest program on campus. And it's phenomenal to see these young girls thrive in that strict, tough environment.
For years, I've had the pleasure and also the frustration of sitting in committees, education, you know, business people, wanting things to be better. And I've always known that I'm not an educator, but I'm really choked up by what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because you saw a need, a desperate need, and you felt it. And I just want to commend you both, Tracy and Mike Landry, for all you're doing. And before we close our interview, Jason Sikora, who's producing our show today, always has some questions because I'll be listening and not always thinking, what should I ask? Do you have anything that we haven't covered?
I have two. And one is similar to the last podcast that we did. What is something that you learned in this process that you didn't know you were going to learn? Something that surprised you?
That students sometimes bring more thinking ability than adults to the table. That they are really thinkers, and that we really should empower them to take hold. They phenomenal.
I think for me, one thing I realize, the power of belief. When an instructor truly believes in that student and get out the way, you just have to instill, I believe you, and back off, and the students will do the rest.
Excellent. And then my other question was, perhaps somebody in another state is inspired and wants to do homeschooling for their own kid. What's the biggest piece of advice you could give that parent?
Oh, be prepared for a long, hard road. This was not overnight. It'll be long and hard, but stick with it. As far as the school, if they're thinking about starting a school, I would say don't look at the success now. Look at the hard road before so you know what to expect.
And on my side, I agree with my wife, is that don't let anybody tell you what won't work. If they tell you it's not going to work, try it. Worst of the worst, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But if you want to change the world, don't do what has already been done. That's what I tell people.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for being here. This is fascinating.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of Discover Lafayette. We've taped this wonderful show with Tracy and Mike Landry today in the offices of Raider Solutions. You can check them out at RaiderSolutions.com. And I also ask that you please go to our website, DiscoverLafayette.net. You can find this episode and all of our episodes at DiscoverLafayette.net, or you can subscribe on Apple Podcast, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. I ask that you please, when you listen, please subscribe, rate, and review. It helps keep our show going. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift. Thank you.